Boker Tov, good morning. We are continuing today's daf. We left off at the bottom of Kaf Aleph, Kaf Aleph Amud Bet, 21b. Today's daf is Daf Kaf Bet, Daf 22. Today's class should be for the Refuah Shlema of all the Cholim, Vichladam, Arab Shlomo Ben Shamsi, Chemda Barachom Echadim Shana, Melchon Mekam Rivka, Sarab Al Manir, Shlomo Mesara, David Menachem, Rifa Abad Ben Rab, Rifka Abad Echav, Rifka Abad Esther, Shlomo Mesara, Fahim Adayam, Shlomo Rechana, Yafa Abad Mirayam, Yehuda Ben Ifach, Harisa Bitzchor Rechem Echana, Simcha Ben Maka, Mirayam Ad Echav, Lidish Ben Mirayam, Chana, Adayana, Ben Amar, Echad Esther, Ben Tomar, Esther, Rechana, Gibra Gidu Ba Baracha, Lana Ben Esther, Zechamon, Yaakov, Ben Amar, Makan, Yishav Ben Etam, Ben Yafa, Yosef Ben Demra, Shlomo Shem Ben Dina, Yosef Ben Yafa, Daniel Ben Dina, Simcha Ben Nea, Fahim אפרים בן נאה, אמר גדיב בן נאה, מקום שלו, כנדלו, כנדלו, בנינו מגב בת מרים, קבלנו ישוע בן נחם החנה, מלכה בת אסתר, ולהבדיל לנו נשמע, דוד בן אליהו, בנימין בן שחק, לילת דינה בת אפרים, שמעון וישון, רינה מכה בת דן, ובועז בן אברהם, דינה בת אהרון, תמר ברכה בת אברהם. Okay, so again, we left off at the bottom of 21b, third to last line. אמר רבי אבא, אמר רב הונה, אמר רב, שלושה שישבו לקיים את אשתר. If you have three people, three דיינים, three judges, who sat down together to certify a document, and v'kara arar al echad mehen, and there was a claim made against one of the judges, ed ad shelo chatmu meidin alav echotem, until the point that they already signed the document, you can testify in front of a beit din. Rashi says meidin al zeh shehu kasher, to testify that this third judge is kosher, and he can sign as well. Mishechatmu, but once they already signed, ain meidin alav echotem, they cannot testify that the third judge is kosher. We're at the bottom of 21b. So the Gemara says, arar demai, what kind of claim are you referring to? Okay, we said that we have three judges, and one judge, there became a claim against this judge. So what claim are we referring to? Arar de gazlanuta, if we're referring to, let's say a claim came against him that he was a thief, he stole, so the Gemara says, trei vetreininu, it is two against two. Meaning, Rashi explains, ki amre lo gazal, havalu tre, the one who says that he did not steal, that's two people. Vetre, velumit gasher behachi, and you cannot become kosher with this. The kaiman lan kaman beprikin in ar bakot mechon nishnaim, and therefore, if it's two against two, he should not be able to go back in judgment out of doubt. Err the pegam mishpacha, but if it's referring to a claim against pegam mishpacha, meaning there's something wrong in the lineage of his family. Let's say he came. They said he was a slave or something along those lines, because we know a slave is not allowed to be a judge. So galui milta ba'amahu. So then why would he be pasul? Meaning, why would we think that this third judge would be pasul? If he was a thief, what are we going to say? Once they've signed already, it's considered, they're going to say, it's not nice if we don't include him, because people are going to look at him and think he's pasul, so let's include him also. Okay, if he's a thief, it's 100% not allowed, because it's two witnesses against two witnesses. But if it's considered a pegam mishpacha, like he's a slave, for example, everyone will find out. Galui miltahi, it's considered something that will become revealed, so you don't have to worry about it. Meaning, if Rashi explains, once they've already signed, why can't they testify on him saying he's kosher? Because if he's really a slave, they're going to go and be mevarer, they're going to examine and investigate, and they're going to find out. And if not, not. So the Gemara says, le'olam emalach arar de gazlanuta. Really, it's referring to a claim that he was a thief. Ve'ka'amre, and these other judges are saying, ve'ka'amre hane yad'inan be de'avat teshuvah. These other judges say, we know that he repented, he did teshuvah. And Rashi says, ve'hashivet ha'gezela, he also returned the stolen object. So therefore, we know that he's kosher. Amar bizera, hamilta, this matter, me Rabbi Abba Shmieli, I heard this from Rabbi Abba. Ve'ilav Rabbi Abba de min Ako shechachta. If it wasn't for Rabbi Abba, I would have forgotten it. So he says, Gimel sheyashvu lekayem et hashtar. Three people who sat to fulfill, to certify a document. Umet echad mehem, and one of them dies. Tzrichin lemichtav memotav tlata avena. They need to write, we were sitting with three. V'chad leitoi, and one of them is no longer amongst us. That's what they need to write, in order for the people to know that there was a beit din of three and one person died. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, vi katav beishtara danan nafak lekadmana beidina tula tzarich. If they would have written that this document came in front of us in the beit din, you don't have to write anything else, because everybody knows that within a beit din you need to have three judges in order to judge. So therefore, they would have known that there were three and one of them probably died. Okay, then it says. V'dilma beitin chatzufu. Maybe it's a beitin chatzuf. Maybe it's a type of beitin that they're not so following the laws 100%. And it's called. Thank you so much. And they consider like a beitin that's chutzpah, that has chutzpah. Okay, the Shmuel, like Shmuel says, Damar Shmuel, Shnaim Shedanu. If two judges judged, dinayim din, their judgment would be considered an actual judgment. Ela shenikra beitin chatzuf. What do we call them? Beitin chatzuf, meaning it's a beitin that's like chutzpah. You're not supposed to do it with two judges. You're supposed to do it with three. They did it with two. It counts, but it's not so great. So why don't we think that also in this case it might have been only with two judges? So the Gemara says dichtiv bei beitina deravna ashe. It's over here on the document. It's written the beitin of Rav Ashe, and we know that the beitin of Rav Ashe. Rav Ashe was one of the most preliminary or prestigious heads of the Beit Din, one of the greatest rabbis. So we know that he would never have a thing in his Beit Din for them to judge with only two people. So the Gemara says, "V'dilma Rabbanan deve Rav Ashe kidishmuel sviraleu." Maybe the rabbis of the Beit Midrash or the Beit Din of Rav Ashe, they hold like the opinion of Shmuel that this Beit Din of two, if it's really two people that judge, it would count, but it's only a Beit Din chatzuf. The Gemara says, "Dichtiv bei ve'amar lana Ravna Ashe." No, it says on the document, Rav Ashe told us what to do. So essentially, he instructed us how to do it. So we know for sure that he told us to do three people judging and not two, and therefore we don't have to worry about there only being two people judging. We know that for sure there were three. Okay, new Mishnah. Ha'isha she'amra eshet ishayiti. If a woman comes and says, "I was a married woman," ugrusha ani, and now she says, "I am divorced." Ne'emenet, she's considered believed. Why? She'hapeh she'asar hu'hapeh she'yitir. The mouth that forbade her is the mouth that permits her. Meaning, since we didn't even know she was married, she comes and says, "I was married, but I'm divorced." She can say that because she's telling us what makes her asur. And then she's telling us, "I'm now mutar because I got divorced."
It's like Migo, I guess.
Exactly. V'im yesh edim she'ayta esh edish. But if the witnesses came and said that she was married, v'hi omeret gerushani, and she's saying, no, I'm divorced, over there, einan ne'emenet, we would not believe her in that case. Because there's no migo over there, because she's the one who's just saying, "I'm divorced." Amram nishbeti v'tehorani. If she says, I was taken captive amongst the non-Jews, but none of them slept with me, I'm still tehora, ne'emenet, she's believed. Why? The mouth that forbade her is the mouth that permits her. She revealed herself, so she can also permit herself. But if there are witnesses who came and said that she was taken captive, and she says, "No, I'm pure," we would not believe her in that case. And then the last line in the Mishnah says something very interesting. And if once she married, only then after did the witnesses come, she does not have to leave the marriage. So what part of, is this Mishnah going on? The Mishnah doesn't explain. So it's very interesting. Rashi says, in the Gemara, I'll explain on what this is going, this line is going, because it's not so clear what this line is referring to in our Mishnah. Okay, Gemara. Amar Avasi, minayin lehapesh asar huapesh itir. From where do we know? Mina Torah. From where do we know that according to the biblical origin, that the mouth that forbids is also the mouth that can permit. So the Gemara says, "Shneimar et biti natati leish hazeh leisha." This father says, "I have given my daughter to this man as a wife." So the Gemara explains when he said leish, I've given it. Okay, you're continuing. Sorry. So where do we know according to Torah law that the pesha asar is the pesha itir? Shneimar et biti natati leish hazeh leisha. I have given my daughter to this man as a wife. So the Gemara explains leish. If he said to this man, asera, he is forbidding her to everyone else in the world. Hazeh, to this man, hitira. She's permitting. He is permitting his daughter specifically to this man. So the pesha asar, if the mouth that forbade his daughter to the whole world, is the mouth that permits his daughter to this man. That's the explanation. So the Gemara says, "Lama likra? Why do you even need a pasuk for that? Svarahi, you could use it as logic. Hu asera, v'hu sharela. He forbids her. He can also permit her. Why? It's very logical. So ela ki itzerich kra. Why do you need a pasuk? The Rav Huna amarav, for the opinion of Rav Huna. The amarav Huna amarav. Minayin le'av shene'eman le'esor et bito min haTorah. How do we know according to the Torah law that a father is able to forbid his daughter? So the Gemara says, "Shneimar et biti natati la'ish." My daughter I've given to this man. So the Gemara says, Hazel Lamani. So then now that we've determined that you don't need this pasuk to teach us the law of Hapesha Asar or Hapesha Yitir, then why do you need the word Hazeh? Right? We said the word Hazeh was permitting her to this man. So why do we need the word Hazeh anymore? So the Gemara says, Hazeh Lamani, mi baile lech tetane Rabbi Yonah, for the teaching of Rabbi Yonah. Tetane Rabbi Yonah, et biti natati leish Hazeh, I've given my daughter to this man, Hazeh velo liyavam, to this man and not to his brother, right? Not to my brother-in-law. Meaning, there's a rule that if let's say the husband comes and is motzi shemra and he comes and says that I have found that she was not a virgin and he lies and they find out he's lying, he has to pay. He has to pay. It doesn't go unwarranted. What happens if let's say the woman was about to marry per se, or she married the husband but they hadn't yet slept together? And the husband died. So she does the boom and she marries the brother-in-law. She marries her brother-in-law. Now, after the brother-in-law sleeps with her the first time, he comes to the Beit Din and says, oh, I didn't have, she wasn't a virgin. I thought she was a virgin. Does he? And then they find out he was lying. So the Gemara is understanding from here, from the word hazeh, that only the husband has to pay, not the brother-in-law. It's gzerata pasuk, gzerata katuf, that just the husband has to pay, but not the brother-in-law, if the brother-in-law would make such a claim. Tanu Rabbanan, Haisha she'amra eshet isha ani. If a woman says, I was a man's wife, v'chazra v'amra, and then she says, no, penuya ani, I'm actually a single woman. Ne'emenet, she's believed that she's single. So the woman says, v'hashav yu'ale nafshachat yichad isura. But we said that she made herself into an asur woman. How can she permit herself? Amar ava barav huna, kengon shenatna amtala lezvareha. Oh, very important. She gave reasoning to her words. She gave explanation. Why did you say that you were married at first? So since she gave reasoning, and the Gemara is going to bring a story to explain that, so that's why we believe her. Tanya nami hachi. We have a brayta just like this. Amra eshet isha ani. If she says, I'm a married woman, v'chazav v'amra penuya ani, and then she says, no, I'm single, inane emene, she's not believed. Well, it's not the same thing. So the Gemara says, v'im natna amtala ledvare amne emene. But if she gives reasoning to her words, then she is believed. Umaase nami, and we had an incident. Beisha achat gedola, an adult woman. Shahita gedola benoi. She was a beautiful, beautiful woman. Vekavtsu aleha ben adam, and people were jumping on her to try to marry her. Lekatsha. Veamra lehem, and she would tell them mekudeshet ani. She would tell them, I'm married. I can't marry you. Leyamim, a little bit later on, amda vekichat. That's ma. She went and got married. All of a sudden, they're looking around. You were married. How did you just go get married? So amru lachachamim. The chachamim said, "There mara it lasot ken. How could you do that?" So she said, "Amra lahem." I said to them, "Betchila shebau alai anashim she'inam mehuganim." At first, there were people who are not so fit. They were coming to try to marry me. So amarti mekudeshet ani. I would tell them that I'm married, so they would get off. Achshav shebau alai anashim mehuganim. But now that fit people are trying to marry me, amati bekidashi. That's me. I went and married myself off. Essentially, she lied in order to protect herself, right? So the Gemara says, "Vezo halecha." This halacha, Ela Ravacha Asar Habira, Ravacha the Sar Habira, this is his nickname. Lifnei Chachamim, he brought this question in front of the Chachamim. Beusha veAmru, and they said, Im Natna Amtala Ledvareha Ne'emenet. If she gave a reason to her words, she's believed. So we can believe her in this case as well. That's the proof of here, that if she said at first that she was married, but that was only in order to get rid of the people who are not fit for her, then she's believed afterwards. Now, obviously, I mean, you could probably infer from here that it's not a good thing to lie. She did that, and the Gemara is understanding that if a woman does that, but she gives reasoning to her words, she's believed at the end. But ideally, a person should never lechatchila, should never try to lie unless it's a pushing situation. Ba'amine Shemuel Mirav. Shemuel had a question from Rav. This is a very beautiful Gemara. Amra tme'ani. If she says, "I am tame, tme'a," v'chazra v'amra tehorani, and then she comes and says, "No, I'm really tehora." So mahu, what's the din over there? Amar le, Rav told Shemuel. Af bazo, even in that case, im natna, if she gave, flipping the amud, am talad itvareha, she gave reasoning to her words, ne'emenet. Right? If she explained herself, like we said earlier, why she said she was tme'a and then tehora, so then she would be believed. So the Gemara says, tana mine arba'im zimnin, Shemuel learned this halakha from Rav 40 times, and still, he never accustomed himself with this leniency. Meaning, even though Rav said that if she gives explanation why she said what she said, we believe her, Shemuel never relied on this. Rashi explains that one time, Shemuel had an incident where his wife came and said this situation, that she said she was tme'a, and then she said, no, really, I'm tehora, and she gave reasoning why she said that. And Shemuel said, I'm not sleeping with you. He said, well, I'm not saying I'm Torah. He said, no, Rav said he taught you 40 times. Even though he learned it 40 times, he wouldn't. And the Chachamim explained, the Achronim explained that he was machmir. According to the letter of the law, he was allowed to believe her if she gave reasoning. But really, he was machmir. He was strict on himself and passed the letter of the law in order to be strict and told her that you have to go to the mikveh and only then I'll sleep with you. This was Shmuel's perspective. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, we're continuing. Shnayim Omrim, two people come and say, met, that this person met, he died. With Shnayim Omrim, two people say, lo, Shnayim Omrim, lo met, he did not die. Shnayim Omrim, nidgarsha, two people say he divorced, or she divorced. With Shnayim Omrim, lo nidgarsha, she did not divorce. So, you have two against two. Areza lo tinase, she should not get married, right, because it's two against two. And we don't know what it is. Vim ni said, and if she did get married, lo tetzeh, she does not have to get a divorce. This is the first opinion. Rabbi Menachem bar Yossi omer, Rabbi Menachem says, tetzeh, she should get a divorce. You should not stay married. If they said you should not get married, you should not get married. So amar, Rabbi Menachem bar Yossi, ematai ani omer tetzeh, when do I say she has to get a divorce? Bezman shebau edim, v'achar kach ni said, if the witnesses came first, and then she got married. The witnesses came and said, let's say the husband didn't die, or the husband, you didn't get a divorce, and then she went and got married. Then you have to get a divorce, because maybe you really were married to the man still. Aval nised, but if she got married, and then the witnesses came and said, no, you're really still married to someone else, lo tetzeh, in that case, she does not have to get a divorce anymore, because over there, she already married. So the Gemara says, michti, let's see. Terei v'treininu. Over here, in this case, it's two against two. So, haba alav ba'asham talui ka'e. If a person, the man sleeps with this woman, he should be considered having to bring an asham talui. What's an asham talui? It's a korban that if a person does, by accident, he sleeps with ba'al safek karet. It's a doubtful karet situation. So if it was accidentally, then you would have to bring something that's called an asham talui. So in this case, you would have to bring an asham talui because it's safek if it's karet or not. So I'm meaning the second husband. So Amar Rav Sheshat, Kigon Sheniset Le'echad Me'edea. No, she married one of the witnesses. One of the witnesses came and said that the husband really died or they got divorced. He went and married the wife. And he knows for sure that he died or they got a divorce. So therefore, since he says, Barili, I know for sure, he can marry her and he doesn't have to bring a korban. The Gemara says, He gufa be'asham talui kaima. But sorry, Mechila. Okay. He gufa ba'asham talui kaima. She herself has to bring an asham talui, right? She is also a problematic. I mean, it's not only the man who sleeps with her; it's also her herself. If she's safek, if maybe she's doing karet, she would have to bring asham talui. So be'omeret barili. She says, "No, I know for sure my husband died," or she says, "I know for sure that we got a divorce." So since she says, "I know for sure," she's believed as well. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Shnayim omrim met." If two witnesses say that the man died, u'shnayim omrim lo met, and two say he did not die. She should not get married. Why? It's a safek. Ve'imni said, and if she did get married, lo tetzeh, she doesn't have to get a divorce. Interesting. By mita. If it was by death, she doesn't have to get a divorce. Shnayim amrim nidgarsha. If two witnesses said they got a divorce, u'shnayim amrim lo nidgarsha, they did not get a divorce. Harezo lo tinaseh, then she should not get married. Ve'imni said, and if she did get married, tetzeh, she should get a divorce. So, if it's the case of death, if she got married, she can stay married. If it was the case of divorce, and they testified in safek, then even if she got married, she has to get a divorce. So the Gemara says, Maishna Reisha or Maishna Seifa. What's the difference? What's the difference between the case of death and the case of divorce? And now, the Gemara is going to bring three answers, and this is pretty much going to be the remainder of the daf. Answer number one. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Tirgema be'ed echad. Over here, what is it referring to? One witness. It wasn't two witnesses. One witness. So the Gemara explains. Ed echad omer met. One witness says the man died. Himnuhu rabbanan kebetre. The chachamim, when one witness comes and says the man dies, they believe the chachamim believed him as if he was two witnesses. They viewed that one witness when he testifies that a man dies as if it was two witnesses. Ukede ula, and like the opinion of a ula, the amar ula, that ula says kol makom shemina Torah ed echad. Anytime the Torah believes one witness, ed echad harekan shnayim. It's as if there are two witnesses. V'hai deka'amar lomet, and then the next witness that comes after him and says, no, the husband did not die, and she should really be forbidden. Hava lechad, he's only one. V'ein dvarav shelechad bimkom shnayim. And one witness cannot come and disagree with two witnesses. Okay, so again, you have one, it's the case of one witness. One witness comes and says the man died. We believe him as if he's two witnesses. The Chachamim understand that he's like two witnesses. Another one comes and says, no, he did not die. We believe him as one witness, because he came afterwards. So the one cannot contradict the two, and therefore we would follow the two. And so that's why we would view that in the case of death, we would say that for sure we view the guy as dead and the woman can remarry, right? So the Gemara then comes to say, if that's the case, ihachi afilo lechatchila nami. So even lechatchila, ideally, you can go and remarry. Why we said she should not marry, and if she did, she can stay married. Sounds like only after the fact. We're saying over here we follow the two over one. So then, if we follow the two over one, for sure she can go and remarry. The Gemara says mishum de Rav Asi. The Gemara says because of the opinion of Rav Asi. The Amar Rav Asi haser mimcha ikshut pe. That you should distance from yourself, you know, the crookedness of the mouth and not being straight. If a person is not being straight, you should distance yourself from things along those lines. So he's saying, since in this case, we don't know at the end of the day, it's a safek. So he's saying you should distance yourself and ideally don't marry. But if a woman did remarry in that case, we would let her be married. My question is over here, and this is a question I'm going to leave with you. But the question is over here that... if we believe the first witness as if he's two, and the two are going against one, then why are we even bringing a pasuk to say that ideally she shouldn't marry, but if she did, it's okay? If the Gemara and the Chachamim are understanding that one is the first witness is considered like two in this regard, and two goes against one, we should believe them automatically, and this two witnesses, they're saying the man died, she's allowed to remarry. Why are you saying, it's better not to? Where are you coming up with this? So this is the question of the Rashba. And the Rashba explains, actually, very beautifully. He says, it's a gezerah in this case. People will not know that, since there are different opinions, one witness said he died, one witness said he did not die, people don't know that the Chachamim made this rule that the first witness is viewed as two. So people might be mistaken and thinking that, oh, one against one, maybe she's not allowed to remarry, and this woman is not kosher. She's going remarrying without permission. So since the people around might think like that, the Rashba explains that therefore she should not remarry ideally, but if she did after the fact, it's okay. That's the explanation the Rashba gives. Very beautiful. Okay, Seifa. We go to the latter part of the Beraita. Ed echad omer nitgarsha. If one witness says she got a divorce, ve'ed echad omer lo nitgarsha, and one witness says she did not get a divorce. Tarvayu be'eshet ish kamasade. Both of them are testifying about a married woman. Ve'hayde ka'amar nitgarsha, and the one who says she got a divorce, hava leichad, he's only one witness. Ve'ein dvarav shel echad bimkom shnayim. And that one witness cannot go up against two, so therefore in the case of divorce, in that case, she cannot remarry. And even if she did remarry, she's not permitted. She has to divorce again, and she cannot stay married to that man. Let's go a little bit further. So that was answer number one. Okay? And the ratio and the seifa. Rava gives a second answer. Rava amar, le'olam tre v'trei ninu. Really, it's two up against two. It's not one witness, it's two witnesses. V'ra'a Rabbi Yochanan dvarav shel Rabbi Menachem bar Yosef begirushin. Rabbi Yochanan agreed with Rabbi Menachem in the case of divorce, that Rabbi Menachem said in the case of divorce that you do not, that you would have to leave her, even if they got married, they would have to get a divorce in that case. Velo ra'ah b'mita, but he did not agree with Rabbi Menachem in the case of death, then in the case of death, where you have two witnesses, again, two witnesses, and she married after the fact, then she's allowed to stay married. So the Gemara says, Mai ta'ama, what's the reason? Mita eina yechola mechachashato. In the case of death, she cannot disagree with the guy. If she's saying her husband died and her husband comes and stands in front of her, she cannot say he's dead. He's standing right there. So since she can't disagree with him, the way Rashi explains this, Hilkach ilav dibarila shemet mirteta velo minaseva, that if she's not for sure that the husband died, she's not going to remarry, because if she's not for sure, the husband might come in front of her, so therefore she's going to be afraid. Whereas gerushin, back to the Gemara, by the case of divorce, yechola mechashato, in the case of the divorce, she can refute him and say, no, you really divorced me. And since she can refute him, we would think that maybe she might try to, try to avoid him and say that, no, you really divorced me, and she might go and remarry on that regard, where she's not actually divorced. So therefore, in that case, and she would rely on the witnesses. Rashi says, "Uminaseva al pi edim halalu misafek velomir tatal meidak shapir." And she's not going to be so careful to go and have them examine her and stuff like that. She may go and remarry without it being kosher, and therefore, for the case of divorce, if she remarried, we tell her, "No, you have to get a divorce." So the Gemara says, "Umi chatzifa kulehai." What is she really that chutzpah? She's so much chutzpah she would do something like that. V'ha'amar Rav Himnuna says, Ha'isha shamra lebala, if a woman says to her husband, Girishtani, you divorced me. Ne'emenet, she's believed. Why? Chazaka ein ha'isha me'iza panea bifnei bala. We have a status that a woman would not be brazen in front of her husband's face. I mean, she would not go so far to be so much chutzpah to lie to her husband and say, you divorced me, if he didn't really divorce her. So why are you saying over here that we would have such a worry? So that's only when there are no witnesses that are helping her, that are proving her. But if that whenever there are witnesses that are supporting her in her direction, then maybe we would be afraid that she would lie about it and try to convince everyone that really the husband divorced her, even when he didn't. And so therefore, that's why in that case, we would not allow her to marry. And even if she did, b'diavad, we would tell her she has to get rid of the husband, the second husband. Third answer, Rav Asi Amar, Kigon de Amre Edim, Achshav Mit. If the witnesses come and say that actually he died right now, the man, Achshav Girsha, and right now he divorced her. So, Mita Leka Librura, by the case of death, meaning by right now, I think they mean today. Today he died, today he divorced her, Rashi says. Leka librura. There's no way to be mevarer, to examine and distinguish if it's true or not, right? Rashi says, if they say he drowned in water or a lion came and ate him, we cannot go and explain if it's true or not. So therefore, in that case, ideally, she should not get married. But after the fact, if she did get married, she's okay, she's allowed to stay married. but in the case of Mita leka levrura. By the case of death, they cannot reveal if it's really true or not. Girushin, in the case of divorce, ika levrura, they would be able to reveal the case. The amrinan la, they would tell her, im ita de hachiyava, if he really divorced you, achaze lach langitich, then bring us your divorce, bring us the document, let's see he really divorced you. And Rashi explains, there's no way she can come and say, oh, I already lost it, because nobody loses their divorce document right after the divorce, if it just happened that day. So therefore, the Rav Asi explains that this is referring to that he died and divorced her on that day. And by the case of death, we're able to examine and investigate. So in the case of death, we would say that if she should not marry, she should not get married ideally, but if she did afterwards, she is allowed to stay married. By the case of divorce though, since we can verify, we can investigate, and we can tell her, bring your divorce documents, so therefore we would tell her, no, you're not allowed to marry at all until you, and even if you do, you have to get a divorce until you show us your divorce documents. Okay, we'll stop there for today. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.